the traders, a crowd pleaser, and they're doing the actions in the studio as well. Carly Rae Jepsen. No, we didn't have the webcam on because we thought, no, not today.
Lincoln Inspired is more than just an arts festival, more than a literary festival, more than a whole set of lifestyle opportunities, and more than what the world has needed for millennia.
To see just how much more Lincoln Inspired can make you, go to lincolninspired.co.uk and explore the inspiration.
And who, Rachel, can we actually turn to within Lincolnshire to actually guarantee good quality science fiction and speculative fiction is brought to the fore?
Sorry? Well,
most people have that reaction when they see the name JJ written on the running order. Of course, we're referring to the one and only...
John Gerald.
There you are, you see. Notice, John, the wonderful Barry St. Edmunds-esque way. She actually had the pregnant pause there just to actually sort of introduce your good self. John, welcome back to the production. And, reason you're not in the studio is because you're going to be scooting off to another convention. And it's not going to be AnderCon, much as obviously we appreciate that. Jamie Anderson, Shane Rimmer, and the whole celebration of Gerry Anderson and so on. You're going elsewhere to EasterCon.
That's right, it's the National British Science Fiction Convention, which happens every Easter, and it travels around the country. This year it's in Glasgow.
Always good. And thankfully, they're not going to have an opening ceremony which entails demolishing tower blocks, which is always important, because I did feel, surely, a little question of taste here. I mean, how far do we go with that demolition of tower blocks? Should we actually hire a couple of pilots to fly planes into them? It's not going to work. You know, it's going to be very silly. And also, if you leave one tower block standing, which is actually currently occupied by asylum seekers, isn't that a bit harsh? I mean, they've escaped a war zone. You do want to create another one in Glasgow to work through that? Sorry, John, my little heavy political point there. Just a couple of things from that point of view. There are other ways of opening up the Commonwealth Games ceremony than demolishing tower blocks. For instance, they could hire a few samurai suits and replicate what's going on in the joys of the Spring Festival.
This is true.
The voice you heard there, John, was that of LPAC Producers. Executive? Co-founder? Where would you position yourself within LPAC Producers, Michael?
Not co-founder. Not that high up. It's actually run by company Lincolnshire One Venues. But we are original members. Yeah.
Original members. Yeah. We, of course, being, of course, the aforementioned Michael Woodall and Lauren Buck, who's from Hailsham. Hailsham. For some reason, I had a Hastings moment there. Indeed, it is Hailsham.
I am near Hastings.
You see, that's why I just sense, obviously, Hailsham, very important. And, of course, Rachel Warren as well. Three fine folk who've definitely said that, yes, they want to find out what the joys of David Barnett, Gideon Smith and Mechanical Girl, Mark Sharon Newton, Drakenfield, and Gareth L. Powell, Akak Macaque, what a wonderful monkey. What are they going to be doing with respect to your good self at the Lincoln Drill Hall on Friday the 9th of May?
Well, I think it'll be a fun panel sort of talking about how they got into writing, why they love science fiction and fantasy. With a lot of new writers, they want to know how it works. So the fact you've got three different writers will all have their own individual points of view, and hopefully I can sort of bring that all together and have an interesting conversation.
And you will. Now, Rachel, you did the joy of science fiction with me. Actually, it's just science fiction. I mean, the joy sounds as though it's one of those dodgy texts that we're going to in a different line entirely. But in terms of science fiction in general, I know when we were talking about the Lincoln Inspired menu last week, you're particularly interested in the Lincoln Central Library battle, I'll say again, battle of the genres. Yes, a blistering battle of words between inspired patrons to decide what kind of writing is best. You've got Simon Scarrow, author of Sword and Scimitar, The Blood Crows. He'll be arguing for historical fiction. In the blue corner, Ellie Griffiths, author of The Crossing Places and The Outcast Dead, will be arguing for crime, and literary agent John Gerald, of course, will be throwing a thumbs up to sci-fi and fantasy. Refereeing will be Jill Hart, whom I'm actually going to be doing a little location report with tomorrow at her new venue, Lyndon Books.
Yep.
So do you want me to actually sort of have a few words with Jill and say, oh, Jill, just remember, John has to actually win for the science fiction routine.
This is about winning.
You don't think?
As far as I'm concerned.
Is it taking part?
I have never only read science fiction and fantasy. I think that everybody should read what they enjoy. I'd love people to give it a go, but if they don't like it, they shouldn't keep on reading it. So as far as I'm concerned, it's not about being the best. It's the fact that I embrace all these genres, and we will have huge fun discussing them.
OK, let's find out the views of our soon-to-be graduate English student, Rachel Warren. What do you... Because, I mean, the key thing here, Rachel, is I believe, quite passionately it may seem, that you've just written something for your dissertation, a creative piece of work, yeah, which I think John should have a look at. But anyway, just share with us, first of all, your views on genres in general. Do you think there's a particular favourite that you have? Or?
I think fantasy has to be a favourite for me. And when it comes to sci-fi and fantasy, I think there's a line, like Game of Thrones, people saying that's sci-fi, I disagree. I think that is fantasy.
Oh, it is fantasy.
Exactly,
no doubt
it is.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I still disagree with both of you on
see,
that
I
instance. I think alternate realities and a variety of other factors come up to the fore
no, it's
within
not,
that.
It's not alternate. Now, listen, it's not alternate reality.
It's Westeros. How much more alternate can you get?
Hang on and listen, because I know this stuff. It's a secondary world, like Lord of the Rings. Mm-hmm. Lord of the Rings is not science fiction. It's a created world. It's fantasy. If it was another version of Earth, and that sort of alternate reality, then absolutely, that would be science fiction. This is fantasy. There are differences.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, no, I still refute that, and I will...
You're wrong. That's simple.
This sounds like fighting talk, John. We'll tell you, we will raise this with Tara DeLulu Bennett from the East Coast of America. I might even raise it with Warwick Davis, actually. In fact, I did. I mean, he started off being an Ewok and went on to be Willow and all range of other sort of factors.
Indeed.
So, you know, great stuff there. Let's bring in the drama perspective, because this is something which I know our correspondents in Los Angeles are very excited about. SciFest, where they've got getting science fiction plays on the stage. Well, I'm sorry, American colleagues and cousins, we're actually doing it just ahead of you with the Time Machine at the Lincoln Drill Hall taking place on the 10th of May. But what do you views on science fiction, Michael?
Science fiction?
Or genres in general?
I mean, it's great. Like, I'm obviously open to everything. I mean, as a drama student, we have to look into all different genres. Mm-hmm. I don't get a chance to read it, really, because I have to read classical plays for my course. But
surely there's science fiction
in
as well.
In terms
surely,
of films,
the Tempest,
you know,
is hardcore science fiction.
Yeah. It's... Maybe not hardcore, but, you know, it's there.
Okay. So a line from that. So this line, which, as I say, next week we'll be focusing on the actor behind the Time Machine, 1895, of course, in a garden, a man lies dazed beside a remarkable machine with a story to tell about our future. Nunky Productions bringing H.G. Wells' science fiction classic to life in a thrilling one-person show. So that's at the Lincoln Drill Hall, 7:30 p.m. on Saturday the 10th of May.
Sounds cool. Sounds a little bit cooler than The Tempest. As much as I love it.
Look, you know, we are such stuff as clouds are made of, and our little life is surrounded with a sleep. Cloud-capped towers, the gorgeous palaces, yea, all that it shall inherit shall in itself dissolve. Sorry, John, I was having a Shakespeare moment a week before we commemorate his birthday and death day. So, you know,
I adore Shakespeare, so no worries from me.
Oh, very good. And Lauren, your views on genres in general, is the one which you sort of say, actually, I've always had a liking for a romantic fiction mixed with chiclet.
Oh, that's a stereotype there.
No,
I love a bit of science fiction. I mean, actually, H.G. Wells is one of my favourite authors. I love War of the Worlds, and I'm actually going to see Jeff Wayne's musical version of War of the Worlds in December, which I'm very, very excited about.
Of course, Liam Neeson.
Yes,
taking over the Richard Burton.
I don't think he can quite match Richard Burton.
It's a tough call, and you've got to take that chap as opposed to David Essex. It's extraordinary.
Yes, exactly. Genres. I love. I'm same as Michael. Really, I mean, we have to read a lot of classical plays and things like that. And
nothing wrong with a bit of Ibsen. I feel, you know, that's always good. A bit of Henrik. He does his stuff, etc. Yeah. Scandinavian angst. It's all critical in its own way. And then, of course, you can always take that classical scenario and then adapt it, put it on a spaceship, and whoa, lo and behold, science fiction.
That's true.
Or possibly an alternate version of Middle Earth. But anyway, that's or Westeros, perhaps. No, we won't go in there. Let's move on, John, because other great things that are coming out. We've got Sci-Fi London, etc. But then later in the year, it just gets even more exciting because we look at www.loncon3.org. Yep. That's 3W's.loncon3.org. Do you know, Rachel, what I might be referring to when I say that particular little web address?
I don't think I do.
Outrageous.
Do I? I might do. And I'm just...
World science fiction event, Hugo Award-winning setups. Also, John, put the girl into a fully-fledged post-fringe science fiction world.
I'll give you context. The World Science Fiction Convention has been going on since the 1930s. We get it in the UK about once a decade. The last time was 2005. In Glasgow, as it happens. This is the first time it's been in London since 1965, so it's a huge event. There will be thousands of people there, major authors, obviously. As you say, the Hugo Awards, which are sort of the major science fiction awards, take place there every year, and it's something I'm looking forward to hugely. I've been going to conventions since 1973, so I look forward to this hugely on a personal basis as well as professional.
And hopefully, this may well be my very first science fiction event. We'll be covering it, hopefully, for the Midweek Drive and Midweek Drive Morning Edition, of course. And we must sort of liaise and connect whilst you're there, because I know we're going to have to do lots of things building up to that. Louis Savvy will be there, obviously, with Sci-Fi London, taking place, actually, in a matter of days, actually.
Yep.
And, yeah, talk about fantasy. Don't forget Sci-Fido, taking place, of course, on Star Wars Day, Sunday, May the 4th. We will have a Midweek Dive Terrier team dressed as science fiction characters taking place in Sci-Fido. Just a thought there. Lauren, we'll move to your good self. Steampunk. You mentioned, obviously, a fan of H.G. Wells and clearly that phenomenally productive period during which, from 1895 onwards, so the War of the Worlds, Time Machine, Invisible Man, Island of Dr. Moreau, of course, Things to Come, etc. What are your thoughts on steampunk? let's just take it further on from that, because David Barnett is actually currently writing a steampunk series, isn't he, John Gerald?
Yeah, and basically you're looking at a sort of Victorian world, but often with clockwork or steam-driven machines, sometimes a steam-driven computer, sometimes a steam-driven airship, and usually there's a science fiction basis to it as well. So David's series started last year with Gideon Smith and the Mechanical Girl, and this year we've got Gideon Smith and the Brass Dragon. The Brass Dragon is steam-driven, by the way, and this takes place right across the world. Starts in the UK, and just a great storyteller, wonderful characters, male and female, and an outstanding writer.
And if you add to that, of course, Mark Newton, with a four-book fantasy series published by Tor UK, currently writing a fantasy mystery series, you've got a second ingredient to wonderment. Shameless plug, I think, for Mark, before he actually looks to join us on the show. This is Mark Newton.
Yes, absolutely. Mark, as you said, has had a four-book fantasy series published in the UK, and the new series mixes crime and fantasy, which goes back to what I said about genres. It's all one wonderful writing thing. So if you look at C.J. Sansom's historical crime novels, it's in that sort of area with a fantasy setting which is similar to ancient Rome.
And if you thought that was it, well, no. As we mentioned, Gareth Powell joins us as well, who's currently writing for Solaris. That's yep. Not the Andrei Tarkovsky version, of course. It's a publishing company. Easily confused. Rachel, we talked about your little element and entree into writing, etc. Do you see yourself as somebody who's likely to wish to pursue a career as an author, as Barry Sonnenman's fantasist extraordinaire?
I don't know. I might try it. I enjoy writing, but I don't know how well I could.
Well, dare I suggest, John, that there's a certain writer's surgery taking place between 1 p.m. and 3 p.m. on Saturday the 10th of May at Lincoln Central Library that might just be of use to Rachel and other budding writers.
Yes, we already have two people booked in. There are two other slots, so Rachel needs to get in touch with them very, very quickly. Get in touch with Sarah Bullimore, and you will have the details of that, Alex. And then what I've asked people to do is send the first chapter. Then I go back to them with some thoughts on that before we meet, so that we can actually have the conversation leading on from that rather than wasting half an hour talking about that and having nothing else to discuss.
30 minutes, that's 1,800 seconds to you, Rachel. One-to-one advice session with the legend that is John Gerald.
I'm just very old.
I'm just saying that it's an important line. Now, when you're down in Bath, of course, that part of the world that's responsible for all sorts of goodies, including SFX magazine, you may have sort of touched base with Dave Bradley and obviously Richard Edwards and the rest of the SFX setup. I actually provided Rachel with a copy of SFX magazine this week because we will be focusing on East Coast United States editor Tara Bennett, who in the recent edition, which features the highly major hardcore image of a couple of Game of Thrones character on the front copy there. Tara Bennett is actually talking about female roles in science fiction blockbusters, saying that the perfect standard was set 30 years ago, and she talks about Sigourney Weaver
Absolutely.
As Ellen Ripley in Aliens. It, it, terms of gender stereotypes, John, is that something? Have we actually gone away from the days where we'd actually sort of have traditional, as indeed Lauren said, ooh, typical stereotype because I'm a girl. I like to, no, yep. I was just bowled it out of there. It's quite all right. But do you still actually get some authors who will actually produce something which they might use the defence of, well, it's ironic, isn't it? That's what it's all supposed to be, ironic.
If they're going to do that, they're probably not going to get published because time has moved on, you know, and you deal with characters as characters. It doesn't matter whether they're male or female. It matters that the characters work. And there is certainly no sense of, you know, the maiden waiting to be saved any more than the thudding the obvious muscle-bound hero is of interest anymore in terms of fiction, in terms of novels. What you're looking for is a much more nuanced characterization. So, I've been reading science fiction since the 60s, and obviously I've seen a lot of changes over those years. And one of those changes is the fact that we've got away from those gender stereotypes, both in terms of characters and in terms of writers, because there are superb science fiction writers who happen to be women. You know, I'm not going to say they're women science fiction writers. They're science fiction writers who happen to be women.
Interesting point. Your thoughts on this one, Michael?
Yeah, I completely agree. I think, obviously, when I was studying plays and stuff, I can relate to female characters as well as male characters. Yeah. I don't just relate to people because they're male. I relate Absolutely. To their problems and their background.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay. And Rachel?
No, I think that's a very good point. But think of them as simply as a writer, not as a female writer or a male writer. They're a writer and they've produced something that's good.
Yeah. Yeah.
And clearly, in the acting profession, there's the terminology of saying, well, we're actors. We're not actors and actresses, we're actors, etc. Your thoughts on that, Lauren, or is it just a case of, oh, whatever?
Part of it is, oh, whatever, because, as Michael said, we kind of look at, you know, we're actors and we do what we do, and it's, you know, it's whether you're good at what you do and whether you're passionate about what you do. I value that more than whether you're a male or a female, you know, as long as you're passionate and you enjoy what you do and you're good at what you do, then...
Well, that's critical. Yeah. Same with age, same with all sorts of things. Chronologically gifted, experientially enhanced, all those things I like to promote on a regular basis as we travel through time together. John, a reminder, of course, lincolninspired.co.uk is the first of those whole series of goodies. There is, of course, something else I wanted to just run by you, which I don't think you're actually able to attend, but it is interesting. It's the 50th anniversary, of course, of when Michael Moorcock and a few fine folk set up the British New Wave, an alternate scenario. In fact, I'm actually doing a paper at the University of East Anglia. At the end of May, actually May the 30th, which actually talks about the whole aspect of Jerry Cornelius and, yep. and the take on that. Any thoughts on that? Because that was the whole British New Wave which developed, which Brian Aldiss obviously part of that. And
J.G. Ballard.
Yeah, precisely.
And basically, that was when I came into reading science fiction, about 1966, 67. Mm. So I was reading the earlier stuff, the Asimovs and Clarks and Heinleins, but also seeing the new stuff from the authors you mentioned in the UK, from people like Roger Zelazny and Harlan Ellison and Chip Delaney in the US, mm. Norman Spinrad. And it's fascinating. I was lucky enough to publish Mike Moorcock about a decade ago, mm. and we first met in 1975. And that is one of the great pleasures of science fiction and fantasy, that you can actually meet your heroes at conventions and sit in a bar and have a chat, as I did with Brian Aldiss at my first convention when I was 19. Now, you can't do that if you read any other area of fiction. You can with SF and fantasy. A lot of the authors started as fans before they became writers. But, yeah, I mean, it was a great sea change in science fiction. And, you know, some of it was good, some of it was bad, like anything. But the great thing is that it led to other things. It of itself was wonderful, but it led on to other things as well.
Remember the words of Theodore Sturgeon, 90% of everything is garbage. Well, exactly. I use the more broadcast-friendly version. But it's okay, John. Just talk to you. It's all wonderful stuff. Well, what can we say? Michelle Munro is lined up with another Matt Munro classic. We've got any questions you'd like us to put? Have you ever met Tara Bennett, by the way? I mean, because obviously she's
no,
in the States.
I know the guy is in Bath Well. Yeah. You have a couple of beers when I go down there to see friends.
Well, that's Dave Radley for you, and of course, the joys of Richard Edwards. But you should motor on with that. Tara Bennett will be joining us. Warwick Davis as well, and Phil Leonis. But Rachel, you do this so well. Focus, you know, work through the whole thing. It's a different time from the Midweek Drive Morning Edition, but it's time for you to throw those last two questions. Basically, has he enjoyed the possibility of meeting your good self, and will he publish your work? No, I'm only kidding. You know, just go for it.
All right. Well, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link today with us, John?
I had a very interesting telephonic link with
Good.
You.
And will we look forward to talking to you again sometime soon?
Anytime you want.
Aww. Yay! John Jarrold will return. Enjoy EasterCon. We'll speak again very soon. And don't forget, Lincoln Inspired, John Jarrold, and heaps of other goodies. Check out the website. Go now.
Thanks, Alex.